If you would turn her to James chapter 2. Starting in chapter 14. What does it profit, my brothers, through a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and no one says unto them, depart in peace and be warmed, and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well with the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works with faith made. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out, another way? For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Good evening. We're thankful for your presence tonight. It's good to be back together this evening. Hope you are in James chapter 2. We're going to pick up in our study through this letter on Sunday nights. We've been over the last several Sunday evenings. Before we do that, though, pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, we thank you that you have given us a pattern. You've given us insight in how you want us to live in this life. And Father, we thank you that you've saved us through your Son, by your grace, by your mercy. We pray, Father, that we will live in such a way that we live as saved people who are grateful and thankful and have something very special, something very important to share with others. Father, we thank you for the life you allow us to live on this earth and the hope you give us as we live that life. We pray the things we say tonight are pleasing to you, the things we should say. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Some of you probably have heard the name Charlie Blunden. Charlie Blunden, many would say, is the greatest tightroper that's ever, I guess, tightroped. He was a Frenchman. And there are many legends about some of the things that he did, but one of the most interesting stories is of him crossing the Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And evidently, as reported, he did that on several occasions, several times. At one point, he turned to his audience, and before he started, he asked, how many of you think that I could push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope? Of course, everybody applauded, you know, and they've seen him walk across it. And so, you know, they said, sure, we think you can push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. And so he did. And he went across, and I guess he went across several times. He comes back, and then he says, well, how many of you think that I can push this wheelbarrow across this tightrope with a man sitting in it? And they all just, you know, applaudish. Yeah, we think you can do that. We've seen you walk across it. We've seen you push the wheelbarrow back and forth. And, you seem very comfortable in doing that. So most everybody said, yeah, we think you could push somebody across in the wheelbarrow. And it was reported that he looked over at one gentleman who was really excited. And he said, okay, you get in. He didn't get in. as I understand it, he made a quick exit. He was gone very quickly. The measure of faith is not what we say, right? It's what we do. It's what we're willing to do. That's really the measure of our faith. And we're going to look at the second half of James chapter 2 tonight as we continue the study of this letter. And it has to do with faith and works. And I think for many in the religious world, and even sometimes in the church, it's kind of hard to work through this. And the reason I say that is some would say, well, James, he's contradicting Paul. Because we know that, you know, we're not saved by works. And if you remember what Paul said in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But Paul and James, I think, are using works in different ways. And there is no contradiction, I believe, in what James says versus what Apostle Paul has said. Paul in Ephesians, as well as in other places, he teaches that a person obviously can't be saved by works or by merit or by keeping the law. That was a lot of what Paul was writing about at times. In other words, it's impossible for a person to earn salvation. That's true. We better believe that. And we better not believe that or think that we can earn our salvation. But James, on the other hand, is using works as a demonstration of your faith. It proves your faith. It shows your faith in God. Works are done out of gratitude for salvation that God has freely given us through His grace. Because of our faith, through our faith, and because of the grace that He has shown. And some would even say it might very well be that James is maybe even refuting error of those who maybe have abused what Paul taught. Or maybe you might say twisted some of the things that Paul had taught in Romans in particular. We looked at a couple weeks ago in the first part of chapter 2 where James focuses on not just hearing the Word of God, but what? Remember? Doing. That's right. Doing the Word of God, being doers of the Word, and not deceiving yourselves. Yes, we're saved by grace, and we can't work our way to heaven or to earn salvation. But if we truly believe the Word of God, and we are saved from our sins because of we've come into contact with Christ and His blood, and we've repented, and we've been baptized into Christ, then we will want to carry out the works that He has for us to do. And it's not works to earn anything, but it's works because we're simply the people of God. And that's what God's people do. They do the works of God. In our text today, James challenges his readers, and I think hopefully will challenge us, not to do works to earn anything, but to do works simply because our faith leads us to do those things, to demonstrate or to live out our faith. The first thing that we want to see tonight, and I think some of the things that James mentions here and teaches that we want to highlight, number one is this: faith is proved through what we do. Faith is proved through what we do. So our faith is demonstrated by our works. You notice the question, look at verse 14, Alex read a little bit earlier. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? And he asks the question, can that faith save him? And what we learn and what we will learn is that if that's the case, then it's really not faith, is it? He really doesn't have faith. Even if I say I have faith in Jesus or that I believe in Jesus, but I'm not humbly serving Him and obeying Christ each day, then I can't say that I really belong to those that are saved. I mean, I can say it, but the reality is I'm not living as one who really belongs to Christ. The saved are His disciples. The saved are those who have chosen and continue to choose to follow after Him. And James used an illustration to drive home his point, much like he did with that well-dressed man. Remember, they come into the assembly, the well-dressed man, and then also the man who is in shabby clothing. You remember the well-dressed man comes into the assembly, and here, you sit over here. You know, you've got the best seat in the house, but the man comes in with shabby clothing, and you sit over there, or you sit at my feet. And we discussed and we studied that, you know, the teaching there that we shouldn't be a respecter of persons, and God is no respecter of persons. And so we need to be careful about loving all, no matter what they look like, and treating all with love and respect. And so here we see James gives another illustration, and this time, verse 15, if a brother or a sister is poorly clothed or naked without clothing, or they lack food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, you know, be warmed and be filled, but they don't do anything to help clothe them, they don't do anything to help give them food, he says, what good is it? I mean, even if you sat down with that person, right, and you pray with them, I guess you could sit down and pray with them, you know, God, give them some food, help them get some clothing, and you turn around and you say, God, you know, bid them Godspeed, hope everything works out for you, all right, and you turn around and you walk off. What good has that done? Does it matter that you prayed when you have the ability to help meet those needs? The prayer and our talk in that case would be meaningless. It's empty. We could even tell them we love them. But if we don't help them, we don't find clothes, we don't find food, we don't find a way to help them, then we don't really love them. We talked about this morning that love is shown. If we really love them, that's going to be demonstrated. And faith in Christ, and that's a lot of what we studied this morning, it's rooted in love. It's rooted in love. If Christ hadn't loved us first, then it wouldn't even be possible to have faith in Him. It wouldn't even be possible to have any kind of hope through this life. But because Christ and our Heavenly Father loved us first, then we have hope. We can choose to love Him. And because we love Him, we can choose to love our neighbor as ourselves. 1 John chapter 4. Look over at 1 John for a moment. You might hold your place there in James chapter 2. But 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Faith in Christ cannot exist without love. And I can say I love God, but if I'm not loving my brothers, my fellow man, then I'm lying. Because if I love God, I'm going to love my brothers, and I'm going to love my sisters. Genuine faith results in a love that leads us to take care of others in whatever way that we can. So faith is proved by what we do. It's shown by our works. But number two, faith is completed by our works. If faith does not lead to obedience to God, then really, we're no different than Satan. We're no different than the demons. There's no doubt that we must believe in God and that He's one. But even, James says, the demons believe that, and the demons shudder. But it doesn't mean they're right with God. Even Satan believes, obviously, that God exists. But that doesn't mean that he stands justified before God, that he has an eternal home in heaven. James asks another question in verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that a faith apart from works, and the ESV says, is useless. Some versions say is dead. I think we can deceive ourselves or maybe fool ourselves if we think faith without works is okay with God. He uses another explanation that I think his readers would probably really be able to relate to. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Not by faith alone, when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. James says that his faith was active along with his works. In other words, Abraham's faith was active along with his works. I want you to turn back with me to Genesis 22, and let's look at this. We're not going to look at all this account, but I want us to look a little bit at this event, this situation with Abraham. And what I want us to do is pick up after Abraham has tied his son Isaac to the altar, he's raised the knife and he's ready to sacrifice, to give up his own son as God's commanded him to do. And the angel calls to him. And that's really where I'd like for us to kind of pick up in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And let's just pick up in 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." Look at verse 12. He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." The word faith means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But faith to Abraham meant that when God said, "Why don't you go sacrifice your son on an altar?" Abraham was willing to do it, even though he didn't understand maybe how all that was going to take place, how it was all going to work. But he had faith that that's what God wanted him to do. And God was going to make things work out the way that God needed them to work out. Look at verse 15 of Genesis 22. "And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. And he said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I'll surely bless you and will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies.'" Look at verse 18. "And in your offspring shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Did you catch why Abraham was considered righteous by God? Because his faith led him to not just act, but act in such a way that it was in obedience to the will of God, to the commands of God. Faith leads to obedience. And we need to understand really what faith is about, because we live in a world where faith is just something you believe. And that's what's put out there. And sometimes even as Christians, maybe we can think that. It's just believing in a higher power. Well, that's part of it. But faith leads me to act because I believe in that higher power, because I believe in his promises, and I love him, and because I love him, I want to please him, and I want to live for him. James is saying faith goes beyond just believing in God. Christians need to have an active faith like Abraham, which caused Abraham to take action and obey God. Back in James, in our text, in chapter 2, in verse 23, James says Abraham's faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Man, what a statement. And it's interesting that you look at Abraham's life, and Abraham wasn't perfect, was he? I mean, Abraham made mistakes through his life. But in the end, Abraham was a man of great faith in God. So much so that his faith was counted to him as righteousness, and he was considered to be a friend of God. And then in verse 24, he says, "You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." Obviously, Abraham believed that there was a God. But if he had not obeyed God, he wouldn't have stood justified before God. He wouldn't certainly have been called a friend of God. We must believe. But I think we need to always recognize that it can't stop there. I need to confess, and I need to repent, and I need to be baptized into Christ to have my sins washed away, but it can't stop there. My faith can't be completed or perfected until I'm diligently seeking after God and obeying his will in my life. And even at that, I'm never going to be completely perfected. It's a process as I continue to live my life each day until the day I die, to live out the plan that my Lord has for my life. We have to be willing to give him our hearts, to give him our lives. And so whether I'm at school, Whether I'm at home, whether I'm at work, whether I'm at the lake, whether I'm on vacation in another state, another country, whatever I'm doing, I always need to ask, what does the Lord want from me here in this situation, in this place? What does he want me to do? If I have a sincere faith, then I will seek to always try to do what the Lord wants. Faith is completed by our works. Works demonstrate, they show our faith, the faith that we have. Finally, James says, faith without works is dead. I wonder how many people, and I think as I look back in my life at different times, that there were times where maybe, if I'm honest, my faith was dead, that it wasn't a living faith. I wasn't acting upon my faith and following up my faith with actions, with works, service to the Lord. You know, regardless of what I say or what I profess, if I refuse to obey God and do the things he wants me to do, my faith is dead. Faith without works is just lip service. It's just talk. And I can come to Bible class after Bible class, and I can listen to sermon after sermon. You know, I can stand up here and I can preach one sermon after another, but if my knowledge and my belief in the Lord does not cause me to live my life for my Lord when I walk out these doors, then I'm just speaking empty chatter. That I'm speaking really meaningless words, and my faith is dead. And faithful attendance in worship, I think that's important, and it's an indication of things. But just because I have faithful attendance does not always mean that I'm living my faith and that I'm living by faith. Faith without works is like the foolish man. Remember Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the wise man, the foolish man. Matthew 7. Look at verses 26 and 27, Matthew chapter 7. We're not going to read all of this passage, but I want to look at verses 26 and 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. So, he hears everything that the wise man heard, but the difference is he doesn't do them. And Jesus says here, he's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house, and it fell. Not just did it fall, but it fell with a great fall. Great was the fall of it. We want to make sure that we're building on solid rock, building on a solid foundation by living out our faith. That's how we build on a solid foundation in it. We hear the words of our Lord and we put them into practice. We do those words, though we do those commands, and we live by faith. And we're not deceived into thinking that we have faith and that our lives will not show that our faith is dead as long as we're living out those commands. In James chapter 2, verse 26. James says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. A person's dead, I mean, it's really pretty simple. It's just a person's dead when their spirit leaves their physical body, when the soul leaves the physical body or separates from the physical body. And that body is then just an empty shell, isn't it? It's just an empty shell. And faith without works, it's just like that. It's empty. It's useless, and it's dead, James would say. Because faith without works is dead, it can't save us. It's also true that works alone can't save us either. And I think that's something we need to always be mindful of and to be careful of. We need both. We need faith and works, and our faith needs to produce our works. Our faith needs to lead to us working for the Lord. It's not that our works try to get us somewhere. It's our works are the byproduct of our faith. They come from our faith and because of our faith. And so we need both. There's a correlation between our faith, what our faith is, and what we're going to do, and how we live and how we serve. If our actions are not accompanied by our faith in God, then James says our faith is dead. A.W. Tozer said the Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin. Why we obey, why we do the works we do is also important. And that's probably more important to God than the things that we do. Some of you are familiar with the Peanuts cartoons, and there's one particular one with Charlie Brown and Linus, and they're all inside. Charlie Brown and Linus are inside. They're all bundled up, and Snoopy is outside, and he's shivering in the cold in front of his empty dog food bowl. And Charlie and Linus, they're having a discussion on how sad it is that Snoopy's hungry and that he's cold. In fact, they said he's cold and hungry. We ought to do something about it. So they walk outside and they say this to Snoopy: "Be of good cheer, Snoopy." And they turned around and went back inside. James teaches that faith is active. Faith is living. And let's just say this: Christians are people who are willing to get in that wheelbarrow. Not Charlie Blunden's wheelbarrow, but you might say in God's, to serve God. We have the faith to step out and take action, to do the things that God would have us to do in service to Him, and then also in service to others and to those around us. So our faith is shown through our works, and it's through our works that our faith, we learn from James, we learn from Abraham, and I think all men and women of great faith, we learn that our faith is made complete by what we do. If your works or the way that you live your life have not been demonstrating your faith in God, but you're ready to demonstrate your faith in Christ tonight, this evening, by first repenting of your sins and confessing your belief in the Lord as the Son of God and as your Savior, being baptized into Christ, have your sins washed away, we would be thrilled to help you do that. If you've done that, but you look at your life and you think, well, maybe my faith has been dead, maybe I've not been living out my faith, why not come back to Him? Just as Kyle did this morning. Why not rededicate, recommit your life to the Lord tonight and let God make you alive again in Christ? Maybe you just need prayers from your brothers and sisters who love you for any other reason. If we can help you, please come as we stand, as we sing.